Item 9, presentation of year-to-date 2017 SACERA budget versus actual expenditures report. Henry.
Perfect. Good timing. Good morning, everybody. So what we have for you is a quick update at mid-year review of budget versus actuals. So the first thing I kind of want to point out is the structure of the report itself. It's a little bit different than maybe what you've seen. Rather than taking the budget and cutting it in half, we just left it intact, left it for the whole year, and kind of used the fuel tank approach. It's like, these are the expenses where we're at today, subtract it from the budget, and it'll give you a percent. Mid-year would be 50%, and so if you've got more left over, it'd be higher than 50, and you've got some consumed. It's important to note that the timing of expenses falls some in the first half of the year, depending on what the expense is, some in the second half of the year.
Repeat that, please. The first?
The timing of expenses, depending on what they are. Some might land in the first half of the year.
Right.
Some might land in the second. So we take that in an account.
Traditionally, which is more expensive for us, the first half of the year or the second half?
Well, some expenses are monthly, like salaries, and some, for example, like insurance or memberships, you know, that depends on.
So it's consistent, maybe.
Right, right. But as you go through the line items, we can pick apart which ones make sense. So having said that, you know, the report is also structured into three parts. The first one is a combining. It combines the administrative expenses with the non-administrative. Administrative departments include the executive, compliance, accounting, administration, IT, benefits, and member services. The non-administrative is the disaster recovery program, the legal department, the investment team. And we're also did a little bit different this year that any legal expense that is paid in another department, for example, in our administrative or in our member services department, you know, the SURL limit allows that to treat that as non-administrative. So we move that into the non-administrative category. And we'll see that later on. I'll point that out. Okay. So moving on to page 4. Real quick, as a highlight, this is the administrative expenses, the grand total. This is the one that's the subject to the SURL limit of 21 basis points against the actuarial accrued liability. The latest report that we saw from the actuarial accrued liability was $8.7 billion, so 21 basis points gives us a limit of 18.5. You can see by looking at the second column over that through January through June, mid-year, we're at 4.2, so that's trending about $8.5 million per year, and that's about 10 basis points, so we're well within the SURL limit. Okay, so that's the first thing we look at, is that the administrative expenses are well under that. So that's the highlight from this section, page 4. So let's go back to the front part, page 1, and we'll just kind of drive down the line items, and we'll go and pick apart the highlights and see what's up. Salaries and benefits, the first blue line there. You see that the budget is $10.4 million. We spent $4 million against it, so we have a remainder of 61%. The first inclination is to say, well, we're under budget. That's good. Well, there's a couple of reasons why. We just spoke about the investment officer positions. Those are vacancies that were supposed to be put in place. So they're in the budget, but we're working on those. There was a little bit of delay of the deputy CEO. That wasn't in the first part of the year. Some overtime wasn't used. It was expected reasons for overtime. We reduced highly the use of temporary staff. That's no longer needed. We also have an accrual that is going to happen in the second half of the year for OPEB, and that's missing from the equation. We're on the pay-as-you-go formula, but that'll show up at the end of the year. But it's not in there now. That's why it's kind of contributing to, like, under budget percentage.
Henry,
remind me, do we include, like, a vacancy factor?
in the budget?
We do. We estimate for all positions, and we make a calculation. So if they're not filled, it stays in the budget. It's just you don't have an actual against it, so it causes an unfilled savings.
So what I'm looking at it, is you're going to have, you know, from time to time, a vacancy that's unanticipated. Mm-hmm. I realize, like, on hiring, you could say, well, we're not going to get to that the first 4 months or first 8 months or whatever. But for unplanned vacancies, do we include any sort of factor?
Well, if they're unplanned, no, we don't.
Okay.
No,
we don't artificially reduce salaries or something by 10% a year, because there's nothing like that.
Anticipated absence.
Okay.
Right? Yeah.
Like a bad debt allowance or something?
Yeah,
same thing, like 4% or something. Right.
The reason I ask is that's just what I'm familiar with. We just do an across-the-board, 2%.
Reduction.
Yeah.
Okay. Just to make up for it?
Yeah, just because you know there are going to be vacancies and, people taking time, maybe an unpaid leave or what have you. But I just couldn't remember if we had anything similar here.
Not in these numbers, but we did take a good review and we broke down position by position. We took a look at when somebody was going to hire. We made adjustments. Well, we expect somebody coming on board in mid-year and the mm-hmm. first quarter, things like that.
It's something we can look at for the next budget year, though.
Okay. Absolutely.
They're going to be working on budget.
It's a consideration.
Yeah, that's part of the feedback process here, because I like what we're talking about, because that goes into the preparation of the report. Mm-hmm. Just like we broke down the budget for the whole year, last time we did this, we cut it in half and it caused some other questions, so we just left it alone. And I like that concept of the fuel tank approach. It's like, okay, you make your own conclusions. It's like, that's where it is.
Sure.
Todd, would it be netted against the, for example, salary and benefits line, or would it be a separate line item?
So it's a separate line item. We don't apply it on a per person basis. It's a separate line item, but then it obviously rolls up to the totals. But it has its own cost center and everything, and it's just applied to departments to just get us it helps give you a more accurate budget when you look at the salaries. And it keeps you a little more in line in terms of, instead of always going, great, we're always under budget, but someone took another job, someone unexpectedly retired and what have you. It just it tends to keep our budget a little more honest.
I like the separate line item description.
Yeah. It was good. Yeah, I mean, no one's held to task if that number is off one way or the other, obviously, because those are things beyond your control. But in terms of an overall budget, as an agency that sets rates and is trying to be very responsive to our ratepayers, we find that it just provides you a more tight budget.
It also protects to some degree if you in fact have no unexpected turnover.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. If they're combined, mm-hmm. Now it looks like you're over budget.
Right.
When in fact you aren't.
Right. So.
Yeah. Okay.
Just a consideration.
Okay. Right. It's important in breaking down the variances, the whys. That's part of this process here, is to break down what's causing this under or over budget variance condition, and to spell it out. And that's what we're trying to do here. So moving on down to the operation expenses, most of them look in line. The whole category there of training, education, board, and staff is, when you add them all up, it's about 43%. A little bit over budget if you compare the fuel tank approach of the 50%. Probably the biggest key is professional membership. There was a couple of memberships that were unexpected that we wanted to be part of, NASRA and NERS. Is inside that actual expense of $18,000. Okay, so that's probably what contributes to that. Down in the professional services area, our audit looks way under budget, but we just contracted with ICON, and they were just visiting us last week. We met with them yesterday. So a lot of the fees are going to hit in the second part of the year, and that's what's going to absorb some of that savings. The election hasn't happened yet. We don't have any fees there. Outside,
he's not here to see this.
Outside legal, we talked about that at our last budget update discussion. We put something in our budget. So this 473 is a component of three items. It's what we spend on our investment legal, what we spend on our general legal, and also other. We have an attorney company that helps us with negotiations and things like that. So the sum of all three attorneys and legal fields are inside this $473,000. And so far, we've spent $287,000 against it.
Mm.
Okay?
So that's Reed Smith, Wiley, and investment counsel?
The investment firm. We also use Reed Smith for investment piece, too.
So
two cost centers.
Okay.
Okay? Maybe this will help a little bit. If we go back to the last page, back to page 6.
Disability.
Just a little number here, page 6, the first asterisk, 2017. Outside legal counsel includes $75,000 for investment counsel.
Right.
$350,000 for general and $48,000 for Wiley. So that's the components that break down in there. Those three items are considered non-administrative, so that's the change that we were speaking of earlier. We're calling them non-admin. Good?
I have a couple of questions, Henry. Mm-hmm. On the investment legal counsel, do we account for investment costs per deal for legal counsel? Is it just a general thing, or do we net it? Are some legal fees actually netted as part of the investment? No.
No.
It's all just general.
It's all general.
Got it.
Right.
Got it.
You know. If we were to look at the bills, I'm sure there could be some itemization, but we just pay the bills as part of the bills.
And then, just out of curiosity, it's a very small amount, but what is county data processing on page 2?
Page 2?
Maybe a question for Bill.
That was expenses that we were paying the county to get our reports, our sub-ledger reports, our previous system that we were trying to migrate from.
Got it.
So it's IT costs and their staff, and so we're passing on. So this is going to fall by the wayside the more we get away from them, but every discussion, every little service that's done with them translates into a charge.
Got it. And then this, I'm not asking for this, but I'm just curious, Gail, since we migrate away from the county, have you looked at cost savings in certain things or cost increases in certain things in terms of what we've taken on or same things we're saving?
I haven't done a detailed analysis of that.
Yeah, and I'm not asking for that. I was just curious to know. If there was anything noticeable.
I have somewhat of a sense on some of the areas, but I haven't, no.
We do rely on them for a couple of areas. When we send out mailers, we use their machinery and their postage, and so they'll charge us there.
Mm-hmm.
There was something, funny you mentioned that, but in the software line, it doesn't stand out, but inside the software line, there is about a $9,000 charge for cloud protection software that we had to buy because we were connected with the county, but they discontinued the service, so they said, to Sarah, you're on your own. So San Lu had to purchase a nice, robust bit of software. So it was about $9,000. So that could be connected. It was part of the departure.
Got it.
Leaving some added costs.
Cool.
You may not be able to answer this. Does that mean the county is no longer protected in the cloud?
No, they have their own, but they just didn't include us as part of the payback.
Yeah. Sounded like they went bare.
Yeah,
no.
We periodically have attacks, but generally our software is protecting us. So.
Okay.
Exactly. It's just we're not part of the loop with them. And there was a password, and that password doesn't allow us anymore. So
it was shared by everyone in the county.
It was password.
Mm-hmm. We're on the professional services section. You may ask the consultants, there's a $5,000 budget. We spent about $9,200. That was the compensation study, came a little higher than what it was. That's what that over budget item is. Moving on down to the office expenses, one of the biggest ones is rent. There is a little bit of an adjustment. We budgeted $387,000. When you compare what we spent, you know, you would think 6 months of rent, we should be at 50. Well, it's at 46. In our math, we try and pick up everything, but inadvertently missed the rent bill for the investment office. There was a little bill there, and we didn't estimate for it. So we're picking it up now, and that's why it's there. So it's just a little math calculation. It's not that the rent went up.
Makes sense.
Printing and postage. We use the county for this. Newsletters came in a little bit higher. That's why we have a little over budget condition there of 21%. But the whole group of assets is trending about halfway through the year. Moving over to page two.
Just one thought. Oh,
yes, sir, Derek.
Two. I'm sorry, you're still on two.
Mm-hmm.
You're on one.
Mm-hmm.
I'll hold that thought.
Hold off. Okay. Page two. Insurance is pretty straightforward. It's trending nicely about midway through the year. Over in the member and benefit services section, everything's trending nicely. Sorry about the little formatting item there with medical advisor. It looks like a bunch of decimal points and missing a percent sign, but it is those numbers there. It's 57%. But right underneath that, the use of our hearings / doctor's disabilities, that's basically the appeals services that we have, and they're way down. We estimated that we're going to use them quite a bit, but the bills are a little delayed, but in the first half of the year there was very little use of hearings, so that's what that big under savings is all about.
So these are the ALJ hearings? Which hearings? Okay.
Administrative law judge and the Office of Appeals, hearing, OAH?
Administrative hearings,
OAH. All the acronyms, yeah. I have to remember.
Is it OAH or OAL?
OAH.
There it is.
Alphabet soup.
Over in the next section, the IT systems section, everything is trending nicely, but we want to break down a couple items. Software, we spoke about the cloud protection software that we had to purchase. That's buried inside the $30,200 there of actual cost. Right underneath that, a couple lines down, project consulting. This item is sitting in the budget. San Lu, our IT manager, leaves a little reservation, reserve there for as-needed use. And this is for CPaaS, for cloudware consulting, for any kind of networking issues that's there. And so far, so good. It hasn't been there, but we never know. So that's one of the items that's there. The only other area here, and it doesn't stand out, but we also spent about $100,000 in hardware costs. And one of the accounting rules allows you to depreciate hardware over 5 years. So it doesn't hit here, the accrual concept of accounting, it doesn't hit here because you're spreading that over 5 years. So it's buried inside this asset depreciation here because you're amortizing over 5 years. But we spent some hardware and equipment of $100,000, so it was in there.
Do you amortize software as well?
We do.
Uh-huh. So is that like 3 years? What, a different schedule? Or?
Yeah, 3 years.
We do. Over, if it's over $10,000 and 5 years, that's about right. That's consistent with accounting practice, accounting policy.
Mm-hmm. And desktops and that type of thing, they're over 3 years.
Okay.
That's their useful life. So.
Our throwaway lifestyle, right?
Nowadays, it should be like a year and a half.
Every 6 months, right? Something new.
Okay. The next page is basically the administrative section that's inside the combined, and so I summarized it at the front level, and so maybe some of the variances that you see here are the same ones that we discussed. The non-administrative, where it was beginning on page four, we spoke about the staffing that's causing some of the remaining budget to be so high there at 68%. The building rent down towards the middle, you see that the $8,000 over budget, that's that missing rent that we were speaking of. Everything's trending nicely. Unless there's any other questions, I'd be more than happy to answer.
Any questions? Doesn't appear so. Thanks, Henry.
Very good.
Thank you, Henry.